Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Survival of the Richest Escape Fantasies of the Tech Billionaires is a nonfiction social critique by Douglas Rushkoff that examines how a small group of extremely wealthy technology leaders imagine surviving a future collapse they believe is coming. The book grows out of Rushkoff's account of being invited to speak to billionaires who were less interested in innovation than in bunkers, escape routes, Mars colonies, and other forms of insulation from social and environmental breakdown, rather than treating these fantasies as eccentric details. Rushkoff uses them to analyze a broader worldview he calls the mindset, a belief that wealth, systems design, and technology can place some people outside the consequences faced by everyone else. The book connects these survival fantasies to the history of extraction, monopoly power, and techno-utopian thinking. It is both an indictment of Silicon Valley's crisis logic and a defense of interdependence, mutual aid, and collective responsibility as the only realistic foundations for the future. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the mindset why tech billionaires imagine they can opt out of collapse. A central argument of the book is that the ultra-wealthy do not merely fear collapse. They assume they can engineer a personal exit from it. Rushkoff calls this attitude the mindset, a Silicon Valley-style confidence that money, infrastructure, and advanced technology can break the usual limits of politics, economics, and even physical survival. The significance of this idea is that it reframes collapse from a shared emergency into a private design problem. Instead of asking how to repair society, the wealthy ask how to separate themselves from it. Rushkoff treats that assumption as a moral and practical failure because it ignores the networks of labor, resources, and institutions that make elite security possible in the first place. The book shows that escape fantasies are not fringe fantasies, but a logical endpoint of a culture that equates control with survival and treats interdependence as weakness. Secondly, bunkers, islands, Mars, and the fantasy of technological refuge. Rushkoff uses concrete examples of elite survival planning to show how the mindset takes material form. Fortified bunkers, remote safe havens, private security, off-grid compounds, space travel, and digital worlds all appear as variations on the same theme: retreat from the social world rather than repair of it. These plans matter because they reveal a deeper refusal to accept shared vulnerability. The book does not present these technologies as neutral tools. It questions the assumption that they can function as moral substitutes for social solidarity. A bunker may store supplies, but it cannot reproduce trust, legitimacy, or the everyday cooperation needed for long-term survival. Likewise, Mars colonization or digital escape fantasies solve an elite problem only by shifting cost onto others. Rushkoff uses these examples to argue that the desire to exit civilization is itself evidence that the civilization model has become profoundly distorted. Thirdly, from enclosure to algorithms, the historical roots of extractive tech culture, the book is not limited to present-day billionaires. Rushkoff places their behavior in a longer history of enclosure, extraction, and growth at all costs capitalism. He links the modern tech economy to earlier systems that privatized common resources and concentrated power, showing that today's platform businesses are not a rupture from history but an updated version of it. In this reading, algorithms, data extraction, and attention optimization continue the same logic as earlier forms of enclosure, turning shared human activity into controllable and profitable assets. This historical frame is important because it prevents readers from seeing the billionaire mindset as merely personal arrogance. Instead, it appears as the contemporary expression of a long-standing economic pattern that rewards domination, scaling, and monopoly. Rushkoff's analysis helps explain why the same companies that promote connection can also deepen isolation, because the business model often depends on manipulating attention and behavior rather than supporting genuine community. Fourthly, techno-solutionism and the moral limits of engineering society. Rushkoff challenges the idea that every crisis can be solved through better tools, smarter systems, or more powerful computation. The book is skeptical of techno-solutionism, especially when it is used to avoid political responsibility. Billionaire escape plans rely on the belief that technical fixes can replace social repair, but Rushkoff argues that this confuses capability with legitimacy. A system can be technically sophisticated and still be socially destructive. The book makes this point by showing how technological optimism can become a cover for indifference if future salvation is assumed to come from innovation. There is less incentive to address inequality, labor exploitation, climate damage, or democratic decline in the present. Rushkoff's critique is valuable because it does not reject technology outright. Instead, it asks who benefits from it, who is made expendable by it, and whether a technical solution can ever substitute for ethical and political judgment. Lastly, mutual aid. Community and interdependence as the real survival strategy, the book's constructive message is that survival depends less on escape than on rebuilding social capacity. Rushkoff argues that the future will not be secured by isolated survivors, but by communities that can cooperate, share resources, and maintain trust under pressure. This is why mutual aid and interdependence are not presented as idealistic slogans, but as practical necessities. In a crisis, no individual can buy a complete escape from dependency, because food systems, energy systems, care networks, and public institutions remain collective realities. The book, therefore, shifts the focus from personal preparedness to social resilience. Its most important proposal is not a new gadget or market solution, but a change in values treat people as connected rather than disposable. That shift distinguishes the book from disaster, writing that centers individual survival. Rushkoff insists that the real alternative to collapse is not withdrawal from society, but the rebuilding of society on more cooperative terms. In conclusion, this is a strong read for anyone interested in technology ethics, political economy, climate anxiety, or the culture of Silicon Valley. It will be especially useful for readers who want more than a simple critique of rich people behaving badly. Because Rushkoff ties elite survival fantasies to larger systems of enclosure, extraction, and technological power. The book offers intellectual value by showing how private escape plans reflect public failures in economics, governance, and social trust. It also has practical value in the sense that it redirects attention away from apocalyptic consumerism and toward real forms of resilience, such as mutual aid, community institutions, and shared responsibility. What makes it stand out among books about big tech is its origin story and its argument style. It combines a first-hand encounter with billionaires, historical analysis, and cultural criticism without reducing the issue to one company, one CEO, or one scandal. Compared with many books in the same genre, it is less interested in sensational exposé than in diagnosing the worldview that makes elite escape fantasies seem reasonable. That gives it a sharper and more systemic perspective. If you would like to support Douglas Rushkoff, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.